firm a foundation, ye say.
The prophet Ezekiel spoke in the darkest days of Israel. From his vantage point at the bottom of a dark valley, Ezekiel saw the heavens open and had visions of God. Today, the Bible Bus returns to the Old Testament to begin our study in the amazing prophetic book of Ezekiel. You're listening to Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, welcoming you aboard the Bible Bus for another great study in God's Word. Ezekiel is the fourth book in what's called the Major Prophets, and as Dr. McGee explains, it's a very unusual book. We'll hear much more from Dr. McGee about Ezekiel, but first let's say hello to my friend Greg Harris. As Through the Bible's president, Greg does travel tirelessly, furthering our mission of taking God's whole word to the whole world. So Greg, there's something really exciting happening in East Asia. That's in India and Bangladesh and Nepal. So why don't you tell us more about it?
Oh, I'm happy to. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to be with our listening family, Steve. And we've talked about this, but we want to keep sharing it because it's so exciting. We call it the Radio Home Group Movement. And I use the word movement very carefully because it's not necessarily, it's organized, but we feel like the Holy Spirit has given rise to this ministry. And it's a very simple concept that is as old as the church that met in the houses and homes in the New Testament. It's basically people gathering in homes, listening to Dr. McGee's teaching in their mother tongue. Now, we often talk about we have over 120 languages of Through the Bible. That's right. The full five-year cycle. But what we're doing with this is some of these languages, Steve, literally have nothing other than the Bible. They have no teaching, no commentaries. They have nothing. Yeah. So we have launched an ambitious plan to get more than 130 new languages, to get 6 strategic books of the Bible of Dr. McGee, to get them started.
Right. And people often may say, you know, why are you doing that if they already understand, you know, a major trade language? And the answer to that is people that are bilingual have a special affinity, a special love for the language that is, we refer to there as their heart language.
Yes.
And if we can get teaching into somebody's heart language, they may know the trade language, but they're going to want to hear their heart language spoken. And that's where we're trying to get Through the Bible into those languages.
And Steve, I've observed this over the years. When you get into these smaller heart languages, and there are very few other resources, not just Christian, but media, it makes a massive impact. These people feel, you must love us to put this content in my heart language. So we want to focus, that's a big number, 130 new languages. Yeah. Let's just focus on one of them.
Okay. One of the languages we're focusing on is in the southwest state of Karnataka. Now, those of you who are geographically deprived, that's in the country of India.
That's right.
And there is a language there spoken by 2 million people. It is the language of Tulu, and Through the Bible is going into Tulu.
And Steve, what's going on right now is the teams of TWR India workers are fanning out around the country and training pastors and church leaders who want to lead these home groups. And we got a report from the launch of the training, and here's what it said. Producing a program in the heart language gave much joy to the producer, Sudhakar Andrews. He recalled how the messages in the program spoke to him during the recordings as he was convicted from various portions of the book of Luke.
All right.
Looking back at the project, Sudhakar said, "I strongly believe that these radio home groups and the messages will impact a majority of the believers to return to be active in the Word of God and use every opportunity to preach the gospel. Thus, they can be functioning members of the body of Christ. This will help the multiplication of the church."
Wow. Here's another one. This is from Adeline. She's a Sunday school class teacher and wants people to learn and grow in a disciplined way. And she says, "Even in our Christian church, we should be disciplined. And in my opinion, the radio home groups are the solution. This launch has confirmed my conviction. Now I want to start a group and be committed to it. I believe these messages from the book of Luke will help me to grow in the Lord personally as well as with my family. This will spread even to the community. With the systematic study of the Bible, we hope that every believer will become a matured disciple." That is just so exciting.
It is. And it's happening, Steve, in 130 languages all over South Asia, and it's thrilling.
Yeah. And if you're not excited about this, you need to check your pulse. But all joking aside, if you are excited, and even if you're not, sign up for the World Prayer Team today. Go to ttb.org/pray. Get that daily email. You will be blessed. I can guarantee it. If not, you can just unsubscribe. Greg, why don't you go ahead and pray for us?
Heavenly Father, thank you that we get to spread your word to the ends of the earth. We pray you'd continue to bless it and bless our hearts and our minds as we study your word now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, as we come to the prophecy of Ezekiel, there are several introductory things that I'd like to say about Ezekiel that will orient us into this book and to the period in which Ezekiel lived. Ezekiel, first of all, he was a priest. And we're told that in verse 3, as we shall see here, of the first chapter. But actually, he never served in that office. The reason was that he was taken captive during the reign of Jehoiachin. We're told that in 2 Kings 24, verses 10 through 16. I'll not take time to turn there, but you'll remember that Jehoiakim reigned, and he reigned 11 years, actually. He was king when the first deportation took place, and Daniel was taken at that time, and then Jehoiachin came to the throne, and he only reigned, though, 3 months. And then it is about 597 B.C., and you have that second deportation. And during that one, why, Ezekiel was taken captive. Then Ezekiel was a contemporary of Jeremiah and of Daniel. Now, Jeremiah was an old man at this time, and he had been as a young man, you remember, with the young king Josiah, and he lived now a long time. And he had remained with the remnant in the land, and then he was taken by them down into Egypt. So his ministry at this time was confined to the remnant that had gone to Egypt and had taken him along. Now, Daniel was taken into the court of the king of Babylon and became his prime minister. He was sort of a Henry Kissinger, you see, in that day. Now, Ezekiel was with the captives who had been brought down to the rivers of Babylon. Actually, had been brought to that great canal that was off of the river Euphrates, and that's where the captives were placed. It was several miles from Babylon itself, and Ezekiel's ministry was with them. And I think it's quite interesting to note something here that I would like very much to enlarge upon just for a moment, and it's this. If you'd go back to Psalm 137, that's the psalm of the remnant that was down, that had been taken captive by the rivers of Babylon. We sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. And what about this man here? Well, this man has visions of God at that time. He says that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. That's in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Ezekiel. While these people had already put their harp on the willow tree and they were sitting down weeping, this man is seeing visions of God. What a contrast that you have here. And he is the prophet to the remnant. Now, I don't know this, but I would infer from the record that actually Daniel and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, all being prophets, but they had a particular and peculiar ministry to a certain people, and it never brought them into contact with each other. I've always wondered whether Daniel didn't go up and visit his people. From the book of Daniel, you'd never gather that, and yet he had a great concern for them, and he actually defended them. But did Daniel and Jeremiah know each other? Well, we know from the book of Daniel that Daniel was acquainted with the prophecies of Jeremiah. And I have a notion, maybe as a young man, a young boy actually in his teens, that he probably listened to Jeremiah in Jerusalem, and probably Ezekiel had. But Ezekiel was a young man also when he was taken into captivity, about 30 years of age. Of course, they say 30 today, you're an old man. But nevertheless, that had been his experience. Now, if you want to contrast these three prophets, here is what you'd have. The message of Ezekiel is the most spiritual of all the prophets because he dealt with the person of God. Someone has put it like this. Ezekiel is the prophet of the Spirit. Isaiah is the prophet of the Son. And Jeremiah is the prophet of the Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, during the first years of the captivity, the false prophets were still saying that the people were going to return to Jerusalem and that the city would not be destroyed. You see, it was not destroyed at this second deportation. It was not until about 587 or 586, Nebuchadnezzar came the third time, and at that time he burnt and destroyed the city. So in this period of approximately, well, almost 10 years, why, you find that these false prophets were saying that they would go back and Jerusalem would not be destroyed. Well, Jeremiah sent a message to Babylon saying that the city would be destroyed, and Ezekiel confirmed this message, and he warned the people that they must turn to God before they could return to Jerusalem. And when the time came, a very small minority, a small remnant, did return to God, and they returned to Jerusalem, and very much discouraged. Now, Ezekiel began his ministry 5 years after his captivity. And at that time, he was approximately 30 years old. Now, in many ways, Ezekiel spoke in the darkest days of the nation. He stood at the bottom of the valley in the darkest corner. He had to meet the false hope given by the false prophets at first. Then he had to meet the indifference and despondency begotten in the days of sin and disaster. The people would not listen to him or his message. Therefore, he resorted to a new method. Instead of speaking in parables, as the Lord Jesus did, he acted these parables out. And we're going to see that he did some very interesting stunts. In fact, the matter is some things that I would say intensely interesting. We're told, for instance, over in the 24th chapter, verse 24, "Thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign. According to all that he hath done, shall ye do. And when this cometh, ye shall know that I am the Lord God." In other words, they wouldn't listen to his words, so he had acted them out. And he attracted a great deal of attention. We have folk that do that today. That's the reason these people march and carry placards today. They want to attract attention, especially of the TV stations, in order that they might get publicity. We've had in the past flagpole sitters and walk-a-thons and all that type of thing to attract attention. Well, this was the method of Ezekiel. One of the things that he did, and it was quite interesting, he went into a house, locked himself in, then he started digging himself out, and he came up out in the middle of the street. Now, here in Pasadena, wouldn't be anything new to dig in the middle of the street because the city keeps all the streets dug up all the time anyway. But Ezekiel, in that day, here's a man that comes up out of the middle of the street one day when people naturally all gathered around and said, "What's the big idea?" He told them. He had the message for them. Now, we'll see that when we get to it. He's the prophet now of the glory of the Lord. There are three prophets of Israel, and they spoke when they were out of the land. Ezekiel is one of them. Daniel is, and John on the Isle of Patmos is the other. And all three of these men wrote what is called an apocalypse. Although they used highly symbolic language, they saw the brightest light and they held the highest hope of all of the prophets. Ezekiel saw the Shekinah glory of the Lord leave Solomon's temple, and he saw the return of the glory of the Lord, which was projected into the future and will come to pass during the kingdom age, which is the millennium. Now, the meaning of Ezekiel is seen in the coming of the glory during the kingdom. In other words, Ezekiel looked beyond the sufferings of Christ to the glory that should follow. As Peter said that the prophets, they saw the sufferings and they saw the glory that would follow. And Ezekiel saw it better than any of the rest of them, by the way. Now, I think this will give you something of a background of this very, I think, interesting book that we're coming to. And we're probably going to handle this a little bit differently than we've handled other books. And the reason is because of the nature and the characteristics of the content of the book, because we're going to deal with things that are really something. Now, the book opens with a display of the glory in chapter 1. And probably I should give you here at the very beginning our overall outline of the book. And I've actually got it in our notes, outlined chapter by chapter. But the major divisions we have here in the first 7 chapters, the glory of the Lord and the commission of the prophet. Then from chapter 8 through 24, we have the glory of the Lord, the complete captivity of Jerusalem and Israel, and the departure of the glory. Then from chapters 25 through 32, we have the glory of the Lord and the judgment of the nations. And then finally, from chapters 33 through 48, we have the glory of the Lord and the coming kingdom. Now, those are the major divisions. Now, here in this section of the glory of the Lord and the commission of the prophet, we have here in chapter 1 the display of the glory. Now, this is a very difficult vision. John Calvin said this concerning it. He said, "If anyone asks whether the vision is lucid, I confess its obscurity and that I can scarcely understand it." Well, I want to concur with that statement, and I want to say that I'm a true Calvinist concerning the first vision that we have in Ezekiel. Calvin said he couldn't understand it clearly, and I want to go along with him and say that I can't understand it clearly. But I want to say this to you, that I'm sure of what it is not. Now, first of all, this is the vision of the wheels within wheels. This is not a vision of this mechanical age. And, my friend, it's not a prophecy of the aeroplane. You remember when we had the old propeller planes, that there were several prophetic teachers saying, "Oh my, this vision is a prophecy of the airplane." And now today we got jet planes. And what are you going to do with that? Because there are no wheels within wheels there. Now, to say that, you couldn't have anything as puerile and as juvenile as to say that. That brings prophecy into disrepute. It's silly and senile chatter like this that has brought prophecy into disrepute. Actually, you have here a vision of the glory. Now, in Isaiah, you have the principles of the throne of God. And in Jeremiah, you have the practice of that throne. But in Ezekiel, you have the person that's on the throne. And that's the vision here. But I want to hasten to say this. God is not exposed here. You don't have a window display of him. And I'm going to venture an interpretation. You have here a vision of the chariot of God. Now, when I began my ministry, and I have these notes right here before me now, way back in, I go back to 19, I think this message was given about 1935. And my subject at that time was a vision of God. Well, it's not that. It's a vision of the glory of God. Now, that is a difference, maybe without too great a distinction. But it's important to make that, by the way. And what I see in this now is a vision of the chariot of God. And God rides triumphantly in his own chariot today. And what you see here is the God of glory moving irresistibly through time, if you please. There was one feature which I discovered that shocked me. The chariot here is vacant. I took it for granted that God was there. There are 4 living creatures, the cherubim, and they are connected with the chariot, yet they're distinct from it. And above all, there is a throne, and on the throne there's a man. And this is the highest vision of God. and that makes it the most difficult to understand. There are certain outward aspects, though, that are very impressive facts. And I'm going to just call attention to that, and therefore let me begin reading now here at verse 1. Now it came to pass, in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Now, we must remember this is a vision, and a vision of God, but you don't see God. We need to make that distinction because it's very important to make. The question of the 30th year here would seem to indicate that this man was 30 years of age, but it's the belief, I think, of most scholarship today that this is geared to a little different calendar, and it's geared to the calendar of that day. And I'm not going into details concerning that because, very frankly, it becomes just a little intricate, and I frankly don't think it's essential today. Scholarship would spend a great deal of time there, and that's all right. And so I'm going to let them spend the time, and we won't. Now, in the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. So you see that we have not quite come to the destruction of Jerusalem that took place during the reign of Zedekiah. That is important to see. He said, now the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest. Now you see, he belonged to the tribe of Levi and apparently to the priestly tribe, probably at least to the sons of Kohath. And we are told here that he was the son of Buzi in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And Kibar, by the way, was that main canal that came off of the Euphrates River, which watered that area. And apparently these people were put there to till the land, and it's removed quite a few miles from Babylon, and I would say that probably is the reason that Daniel and this man Ezekiel didn't probably meet together for maybe a meal together. It may be that Daniel did visit there. I don't think Ezekiel would have been permitted to have visited Daniel. Now, will you notice, also he says here, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. Now, I know there are a great many people make a great deal of the north and that there's a vacant spot up there and all that sort of thing. That actually is not true because today with these radio electronic telescopes that they have, these big dishes, one out here on the Mojave Desert, they know that there are stars out there. But actually, that was the direction that they thought led to the presence of God. They thought that, well, our viewpoint today is actually more hazy than that. Instead of looking up toward the north, we just look up and think that that's heaven. Well, it's all right for us creatures, we're earthlings, to look at it like that. But I don't think you can make too much out of this, as some have made out of it. Now he says, I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. And I would say the interpretation is that this is a tremendous movement from the throne of God. There was a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst of it, like the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Now we have here this description, and we have the light flashing forth. And I don't have time to go into that today, but this is a good place to stop because next time we're going to look at certain outward aspects of this vision, and they are several impressive facts that tell us a great deal about God. We'll see that next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Ezekiel's vision may seem a little strange and wild, but as we explore God's revelation to Ezekiel about himself, we'll gain great insight into the nature and character of God. To get the most out of this study, and all of our studies for that matter on Through the Bible, I suggest that you use Dr. McGee's notes and outlines compiled in our book titled Briefing the Bible. If you want to download a free copy, you can visit the resources section of ttb.org and click on the link that says Briefing the Bible. Or if you prefer, we can send you, for free, an abridged paperback copy by mail. Just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or write to us at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. And when you call us, please be sure to tell us how you listen. Is it online? Is it by app? Or maybe it's your favorite local radio station. This little bit of information helps us to be really good stewards of the resources that God provides through faithful listeners like you. So will you dig deeper into the book of Ezekiel tomorrow with me? I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll certainly be here on the Bible bus, saving a seat just for you.
All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.